Hello, welcome back to the Awakening Innovations Podcast. I'm Michael Barnes, your host, and today we have a special treat. We have my business partner, Sandy Nagel. She and I started a company called Awakened Innovations. Sandy has great experience in the nonprofit arena, 25 years, grant writing, consulting, and working for nonprofits, and so she's got vast amount of wisdom and experience to share, and she has done incredible things for me as we've been building this company. And so I'm really excited to have her on today. And with that, pass it over to Sandy and tell us who you are.
Well, Mike, thank you for that wonderful, glowing introduction for me.
Absolutely. Now you just have to live up to it.
Thank you. Well, as Michael said, I am Sandy Nagel. I am known as the nonprofit guru. I have 25 years of experience. I've worked with nonprofits and for the last 19 years at a nonprofit. And the reason that Michael and I got together and started Awakened Innovations was we saw a need in the nonprofit sector that they were very passionate about their missions, but the business side of it, not so much. And that's where they really needed the help so that they could be successful and have an impact with their mission.
Yeah. In fact, as you know, and we've talked about many times, most nonprofits don't even consider themselves a business. They see themselves as something different.
You are exactly right, Mike. They just say, well, I'm not a business, you know, I'm nonprofit, I don't pay taxes. And I always laugh about that because they really do pay taxes. I mean, if they have employees, they're paying taxes. If they have unrelated income, they pay taxes. So they do pay taxes on things, and they just don't realize all those business things of finances and marketing and, you know, where's the money coming from, the development or operations if they own a brick and mortar. And that's why we're here. We're here to help them define the services that they need, and that these are people that are willing to work with nonprofits and to help and guide them, because the nonprofits have some unique things for them. Unique things as well.
Yes, absolutely. So why don't you tell us the story of the first company that we worked with, and how you helped them by providing more business strategy for them?
Wow. Well, thanks to Mike, I found a wonderful lady by the name of Julie Burnell, who runs Ellie's Rainy Day Fund out of Beaver Creek, Ohio. She provides funds for veterinarian surgeries and procedures for people who can't afford to do so. And apparently Mike was meeting with her, and she was very upset and crying, and she didn't know what she was going to do. It was just her, all this work, and she really felt passionate about her mission, but she just needed some help. So Mike gave me a call and said, yeah, you gave me a call, and I said, hey, well, okay, I'll go talk to her. And we sat down.
I told her to talk to Sandy. She'll fix everything.
Yeah. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. I have to get out my magic wand and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I sat down with her, and we just talked. And the best thing to say to a nonprofit is, tell me your story.
Yeah.
That's it. Tell me this. And you know what? All of a sudden, it just opened up. And what I heard was she needed some goals. She felt overworked because she was doing it all herself. She needed to get her board involved better. And I said, well, let's just do some simplistic things first. See what you're doing right and where you need some help at. And we found out what she was doing right. Her website looked wonderful. Needed, yep, a little tweaking, but it looked great. It looked professional. She was sending out newsletters and things like that. But she really needed volunteers.
Yes.
She really, really needed volunteers. She was doing everything, all the events, the whole nine yards. And I said, well, okay, well, what type of a volunteer management program do you have, and how do you solicit for volunteers? And I was met with a big wide-eyed, like an owl. Oh, I didn't realize there was all this stuff that you had to do. And I says, obviously you interview these people, find out their skills, find out if they're really passionate about what you're doing, whatever. No. And I said, well, that's okay. We I can help you with that. So she was my first client. She signed on. She says, well, we'll try you for a month. and we'll see how things go. And yeah. Now I have been with her for over a year now. She actually put out her first annual report. If you look at her annual report, which is on her website, elliesrainyday.org, you'll see that all of the increases.
Right.
Between 2018 and 2019, of how many more volunteers she has. She's now collaborating with other volunteers. She's actually going out and getting donations for events and whatnot. She has a big donor event this weekend that 99.9% of everything was donated.
Nice. Nice.
So that's what we do. And I'm basically teaching them how to do things. I mean, it really is.
And what you were just saying there is important to know, because what she was going through is true of 99% of nonprofits. This is not some, you know, it is absolutely not that she's not qualified. She does what everybody else does. And as I like to throw in, it's what you would see if you went to a small business.
Yes.
Business owner running around doing everything themselves and overworked and tired and frustrated and not knowing what to do. And this is why, as you said, we want to help bring in business processes, because the business community has identified processes and the best way to do these things. And yes. Nonprofits are businesses, right?
They are. They can say what they want. I always tell them, Do you have money coming in? Yes. Do you have expenses going out? Yes. You're a business.
Right. If you're not a family.
We have to deal with the IRS. So does a for-profit business. Well, we use volunteers. Okay. You might not use volunteers because people have employees, but you might have employees too. There are some little tweaky things that are different about a nonprofit, but 99.9% of what a nonprofit is equal to a small business.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, when you go in and talk to nonprofits, whether it's as Awakened Innovations or as, you know, going through your normal business life, what are some of the issues that they have that are really business issues that they just don't even identify because they don't think they're businesses?
They're so passionate about what they do that they're just going through the day-to-day thing. They work in their business and not for their business. They're doing operation. They're not looking at the long-term right. things. Business plans, they'll tell you, well, we have a business plan up on the shelf. You know, what are your goals for this year? We need money. We need money. We need volunteers. Okay, do you have a plan on how you're going to do that? No. So it's really thinking and being strategic. And a lot of times they say, we don't have the time. That's a big thing. The next one is board. Everybody, 99.9% board problems. But here's the deal. You're asking people to come on board, Mike, and you're not paying them.
Right.
And you're wanting them to bring all of their assets to you, their resources and everything. And what are they getting out of it? So you really need to be passionate about finding the right people for the right fit. Just don't take a warm body.
Yeah. So Sandy, an interesting point that you just made there, and I have this vague feeling that I've heard a phrase that would apply. So when you're talking to people about them being on your board, you have to tell them what's in it for them. What might you phrase that as? You need to know
what is in it for them? Well,
you need to know your what?
Know your target audience.
There you go. Know your target audience. That's Sandy's.
That is my mantra. It's my mantra. Know your target audience. When you're talking to a donor, you're not speaking the same way to them as a volunteer.
Yep.
You're not speaking the same way to someone who is a who is a customer or user of your service. So you're speaking to them differently. So you have different ways of talking to them, and your website should be that way too. Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Everybody can be a donor. Trust me. Everybody can be a donor. But there are different ways you talk to a donor than you would talk to a volunteer or someone else. But what a lot of nonprofits don't do is they do not look inward for funding opportunities.
Right. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, in looking inward, you look at what you already have. What are your available resources you already have? How many grants have you went for in the past? Can you go and talk to them again?
Right.
So always look at them. Can I go back and ask them for more money down the line? What about your vendors? I mean, you're already used. Do they have a foundation? Can you literally ask them if they have a foundation? And the biggest one is volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say enough about not utilizing your volunteers. When you're orienting your volunteers, not training them, orientating them of things that they can do, because you can find out where they work, where they're retired from, where their family works. Does those places have a foundation? Do they have a matching fund? Just things that they could do. GoFundMe pages on Facebook and things of that nature. Or maybe they can buy stuff from Kroger's or Amazon, or maybe they can do a drive of some sort and bring in-kind donations. And also, make sure that they know what your mission is and what they're actually doing. I mean, they can be out there talking to people and, you know, bringing in donations to you. And they have to know what you do.
And as I always say, everything in life is marketing and sales. And so when your volunteers are out there doing marketing and sales for you, you want to tell them, first off, you want to tell them to do it, because some of them might not think about it. And then you want to tell them how, so that they do it effectively.
Well, exactly. They're your face to the public.
Yeah. It almost sounds as if this would work well with a checklist, maybe.
Yes. definitely. And you want to, and I'll be honest, there are some volunteers that are better at it than others. All of them can do it. If you've got the real gung-ho ones that like to do that kind of stuff and talk to everybody and blah, 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 you know, sit down with them for 5 or 10 minutes and run through it and show them how to do it properly, so they know they can hit on the key things that you want them to. And, you know, invite people. Invite people to anything. Invite people to an event. Invite people to stop in and see if it's like a food pantry. Stop in sometime and see what we're doing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily an event, but just stop in anytime and come see what we're doing. And just invite somebody or sit down and talk to them about it, but give them the tools.
Yeah. And I know, Sandy, that at one point you create a checklist for onboarding volunteers that has this sort of stuff. So
yes,
you know, and has links to, in fact, some videos and stuff on how to set up a Facebook fundraiser and what to do with Kroger. And
well, and you helped do it too, Mike. I can't take all of that. You helped with that as well, and we shared it with some people. I did get a couple thank yous.
Well, so, good. Yeah, and checklists are another sort of business thing that a lot of nonprofits don't necessarily do, and a lot of small businesses don't. But that's something that you use a lot, because checklists just make things so much easier to replicate.
Yes, I do use personally and in the business checklist. Check, get up today. Check. Yay, I did that today.
That way, hey,
drive to work, check, you know, it's just, but yeah, it helps you to remember everything.
Yeah.
Just remember everything. And it frees you up to just talk, and you can just kind of glance down and say, oh, I can throw that in there and talk about that. Yeah. But yeah, checklists are great. And I think that if you give your volunteers the tools, again, I'm going back to it, give them the tools that they need. You're also going to retain your volunteers too.
Yes.
If you throw them in there and say, okay, you're going to be in charge, go do that, and you just kind of walk away, call me if you have any questions. You know, that person's probably not going to come back, but treat them as you would, I hate to say it, as an employee, but give them the tools that they need. And think about it. They're giving you their time for free.
Yep.
You should be thanking them up and down and whatnot, and just really being thankful that you have great volunteers and not taking them for granted.
Absolutely. And by really giving them the tools that they need, you get the most out of them. Your mission and cause moves forward and they feel better. And so that's, you know, it makes perfect sense. So one other thing.
This is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a win-win situation. It's a win for them and it's a win for your organization.
Absolutely.
And it's a win for the people who you serve. That's the most important.
Yep.
Don't lose sight of what you're doing. You're doing it for a particular, you know, reason, and whatever that reason is, that's the most important.
Yes, absolutely. And so one other thing that I wanted to bring up that you like to talk about that's really a business tool is time blocking. So can you talk briefly about what that is and how to use it and what it does for you?
Yes, time blocking. For those of you that don't know what time blocking is you take one particular task and you assign it a particular time of the day. In the case of especially executive directors, time blocking can be great. Yay. Okay, I'm going to take this hour and I'm going to time block and answer all my emails. I'm not going to touch the phone. Now the building's burning down. Yeah, you have to take it. But, you know, other than that, do your emails, make your phone calls, or maybe this is the time you want to walk around and talk to the volunteers. Right. And you set aside a particular time to do those things. And yes, there are times emergencies come up, but for the most part, really try to stick to the time blocking and you'll feel like you get something accomplished. Because what EDs always are telling me, I never feel like I get anything done. I run over here, I run over here, and I run over here, and I don't feel like I got anything accomplished.
Right. Yes. And again, same thing. I was a business coach in the past, and that was one of the first things I did with my clients was tell them to start scheduling and time blocking. Because otherwise, as Microsoft came out with a study at one point that said, you know, when your email chime goes off and you switch over to it, it actually costs you 10 minutes because the human brain doesn't really switch that fast. So,
and if you're over 50, like I am, I just read a study. It takes us 25 minutes, 20 to 25.
Yeah.
If you're over 50, saying it and takes us longer to go back.
Yeah, people think that they can multitask, but in reality, it is serial tasking. So one after the other. It's not really doing three things at once. It's doing three things poorly because you're switching between them.
Yes. Yeah. And always put in time for lunch. You need to do that. And also put in time to take care of yourself, because EDs, again, they do not do that. It is not a 9-to-5 job. Being an ED, you are out in the evening talking about your organization. On weekends, you're at events and everything, and you get burned out. And what somebody told me, one of my mentors told me, is on the weekend, they were not allowed to give her a call on the weekend unless the building was burning down or there was a policeman standing at the door wanting someone or something. Other than that, she did not want to get a call during the weekend. They were big enough to make a decision for themselves. And she stood behind the people she worked with and gave them the power to do things.
Yep.
And you need to trust your employees, because why did you hire them?
Yep.
Absolutely. If they have to keep coming to you and asking permission for everything, I tell my boss, it's easier for me to ask forgiveness than it is to ask permission.
Yep. Absolutely. So thank you very much for your time, Sandy. it's been great talking to you, and those are some great tips. You know, nonprofits are for-profit businesses. We talked about the volunteer job descriptions, the time blocking checklist, and, you know, as I know, you know, you do incredible things for nonprofits and help them to get organized, more efficient. And you also write grants and get the majority of the ones that you write. And so if anybody out there is interested in learning more from you, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, thank you, Mike. I really appreciate that. You can get a hold of me at the following email address. It's snnancy@mynpoguru.com.
Okay. S-N, your initials, at mynpoguru.com.
Yep.
Perfect.
I promise I will get back to you. I will time block you in.
And your time blocking will be on your checklist.
Yes, it will. It will be on my checklist and I will check it off.
There you go. So awesome. And we will put that contact information down below. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mike. And thanks for all that you do.